Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we look back again at Romans chapter 16 and verse 25 and take up the question of the gospel and what it is and what it is designed to do. Paul said, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." Yesterday we talked about what is the gospel. What is Paul's gospel, my gospel, as he calls it here. And it is simply the gospel in its fullness. The gospel of Jesus Christ as it is fully developed. And you find that fullness of development in Romans chapters 1 through 11. Question number 2, what is the gospel designed to do? And the most common answer that Christians would probably give to that question is the gospel is designed to evangelize sinners. That answer is not wrong. What did Paul say in the beginning of Romans? "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Obviously, the gospel is designed not only to evangelize sinners, but to save sinners. And there is a difference between evangelizing and saving. Evangelizing is our part, saving is God's part. But the gospel is designed by God to save sinners. But there's more, and this is what we need to understand. Because according to our text, the gospel is also designed to establish saints. Yes, it's designed to save sinners. But don't forget, the gospel is also designed to establish saints. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel." It is designed, therefore, to further establish individual believers in the Christian faith. It is designed, therefore, to more firmly establish local churches. The steadfastness of the church and every Christian is not that of forms or human authority, but is the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, says Charles Hodge, and I agree with him. Believers are made firm in the Christian faith by a faithful, thorough, and continual proclamation of the gospel, particularly in its fullness. Now, sometimes people who have grown up in churches that are very focused on evangelism, on soul winning, come away after a while with the impression that the gospel is for sinners, but I've got to get someplace else. I've got to get to another church where I can get something more than the gospel, where I can get something to feed me as a Christian, because there, all I'm hearing is the gospel over and over and over again, and it's the same old, and as wonderful as it is, it's not enough to establish me. But the problem there is not a problem with the gospel being unable to establish you. The problem is that the gospel is being treated in a very light and superficial way. In fact, in some cases, it's not even the proclamation of the gospel at all. Sometimes it's stories and emotional appeals to sinners. I have heard evangelistic crusades, evangelistic meetings, where the gospel was not preached at all. There were a lot of things said, and a lot of stories told, and a lot of ways to move people emotionally, and an appeal for people to come and be saved, But in all of that, sometimes there has been no proclamation of the gospel. What a shame. What a misunderstanding. It is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. But it is also the gospel which is able to establish you. And an understanding of what Paul is teaching us in Romans 16:15 answers a nagging problem. Namely, how to preserve churches and Christian institutions in the Christian faith. And that is a problem, isn't it? How do we keep them from drifting, declining, deteriorating, pulling away from the gospel? Well, the answer is to keep them grounded in the gospel in its fullness. The gospel is proclaimed by Paul in Romans chapters 1 through 11. The gospel of sovereign grace. That's what we need. And that will preserve and establish Christians and churches and Christian institutions. When you get away from that, they will drift. When you maintain that, a fervent preaching of the gospel, then you will see Christians and Christian institutions firmly established. Now, unfortunately, that is not the answer of many Christians today. Many Christians today say the way to keep institutions from drifting is to contend for the faith. Well, I agree with that, but we've got to understand what the faith is. The faith is the gospel that Paul proclaimed in Romans. Some people are contending for the faith, so they think, so they say, and yet do not even accept the gospel as Paul preached it in the book of Romans. What are you contending for? It's hard to contend for the faith if you do not understand what the faith is. And so we must understand the gospel. There was a period of time in American history when what is called liberalism or modernism sorely intruded into mainline Christianity, the mainline denominations, and there was a strong movement among Bible-believing Christians, first within those denominations, to oppose modernism, and then when that seemed to fail, to separate from those denominations and to establish new churches and new schools, new denominations. And this movement was all designed primarily to oppose apostasy, departure from the faith. But there was an unfortunate weakness in this movement, namely, there seemed to be a willingness to allow the gospel to be defined very superficially. And therefore, in many cases, the foundation was a gospel that was already compromised, because we have to take Bible-believing people from all these different denominations and all these different theologies. We can't be too dogmatic or precise about what the gospel is, so we'll just talk about faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and that's as far as it goes. And we'll contend for the faith. But the gospel which establishes you is fuller than that. And Paul says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. What's your gospel, Paul? Study the book of Romans and you'll find it. You'll find it. And thus we are reminded that the gospel, properly proclaimed, properly understood, properly taught, establishes believers in the Christian faith. No other message will accomplish what God has designed the gospel to accomplish. You can't find a substitute. This gospel in its fullness is very controversial and divisive, and we can't all continue in unity in our crusade, our evangelistic crusade, or our apostasy-opposing crusade, if we insist upon precise theological understandings and definitions of the gospel. So we'll just sort of sweep all that aside and generalize it as briefly as we can, And we will contend for the faith and stand on that. No, you won't, because that's not the gospel that establishes you. No other message will accomplish what God has designed the gospel to accomplish. You're going to have to take the gospel. No other strategy can accomplish what God has designed the gospel to accomplish. You can't accomplish by some other means what God gave the gospel to do. But it must be the full-orbed gospel of sovereign grace, or it will not be able to accomplish all that God designed for it. We must have the full gospel for full impact, not what some Pentecostals call the full gospel. That term, full gospel, is used in our day for something other than the gospel as presented by Paul in Romans chapters 1 through 11. Romans 1 through 11 is the full gospel. And we must have the full gospel for full impact. We must have the full gospel for maximum spiritual power. We must have the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of men, if we're going to establish Christians and churches and schools and other Christian institutions in the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. And so if we are concerned for the glory of Christ and for the needs of men, if we as Americans are concerned for our nation or other people that I'm talking to are concerned for your country, whatever it may be, if we are truly concerned about our churches and our Christian schools, we need to pray for and labor for a recovery of the full gospel, as laid out in the book of Romans, chapters 1 through 11. I'm grateful that there is obviously a revival of an emphasis upon this gospel and an understanding of this gospel. There is a very obvious movement of God in that direction across America today among young Bible-believing Christians, and I'm so grateful for that. It's so clear, it's so obvious, it's so wonderful, it's so welcome, it's so refreshing. But we need to continue. We need to encourage this. We need to be involved with establishing Christians in the gospel. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel. And so this gospel, the gospel of Paul, the gospel that Paul, by the Spirit of God, gave us in Romans chapters 1 through 11, we must believe and we must embrace. We must endeavor to understand it in all of its fullness and all of its complexity and all of its difficult parts. We must value it. We must love it. We must not be embarrassed by it. We must explain it. We must disseminate it. We must support those who proclaim it. We must pray for its broad reception, because it is the message that God has given not only to save sinners, but also to establish Christians. I hope I've convinced you of that by now. I've labored for this whole broadcast and even some of yesterday's broadcast to do exactly that. I trust that God has impressed upon you the importance of the gospel as the message that will truly establish God's people in the faith. May God help us. Until tomorrow at the same time, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. Good day. May God bless.